Good to be with you this evening on this Mother's Day, and hopefully everybody's had a lot of family time today and just enjoyed one another and as we celebrated mothers. But this evening, I want to, we're going to talk about who is listening, and I want to start this, I want to talk about Timothy a little bit, and I want to, like I said, I want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day, and thank you, mothers, for what you mean to us. But I want to talk about Timothy just a little bit, just to start out with, before we go into the lesson. You know, Timothy, when he was growing up, he had some pretty good upbringing. And, you know, when you think a mother doesn't make a difference, well, I think his mother and his grandmother made a big difference. And like I said, when a mother thinks she's not making a difference, well, you might want to think again. But Timothy's mother and grandmother, they were very instrumental in the upbringing of Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and your mother, Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. You know, mothers play an important part in the home. And I'm sure there are times that you might feel like you're not doing a very good job, but just remember that you make a difference. In Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And as long as you do this, the child will never forget that part unless he wants to. So we know, like I said, Timothy had a strong faith, and Paul knew his background. Paul knew his background. So many times mothers may get down on themselves and think no one's listening. But what I'm doing, or think that what you're doing is not making a difference. But you do make a difference. But I want to take this in a different context as well, in a different way. But who is listening in this lesson? We're going to look at and understand that, you know, God is listening. God listens to us, and we need to have a good prayer life, and that's kind of what we're going to talk about this evening. We're blessed to have a Father who listens to us, and many times we wonder if anyone is listening to us. We do wonder that, whether it be complaints or our accomplishments. But sometimes it's good to get things off of our chest. First thing this evening is not knowing how to pray. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 26 through 28. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Verse 28, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. So not knowing how to pray might be something that we might think about. You know, many people, they may feel like this. It's not always easy to know the right words to say in a prayer. but it's not easy. Like I say, you tend to forget things that you want to say, but it's just a conversation with God. It's just a conversation with God. He doesn't need flattering words. He just wants what's on our hearts, and that's just simple. But we sing the song, Listen to Our Hearts. We sing that song often. You know, God knows our heart. He knows if our heart is not in it. That song says, how do you explain? How do you describe? A love that grows from east to west. It runs as deep as it is wide. You know all our hopes, Lord. You know all our fears. Words cannot express the love we feel, but we long for you to hear. And then the chorus says, Listen to our hearts, hear our spirits sing, a song of praise that flows from those you have redeemed. We will use the words we know to tell you what an awesome God you are, but words are not enough to tell you of our love, so listen to our hearts. So what a wonderful song that is, and it speaks to us as well. You know, God wants to know what's on our hearts. You know, in our prayer life, we need a clean heart. We need a clean heart. In Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. Psalm 51, verses 10 through 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 11. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. We must keep our hearts clean. You know, Satan, he can put thoughts in our heads that shouldn't be there, but only if we allow it. Only if we allow it. Many times we're weak and we say and do things that we shouldn't. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So we need a true heart. We need a true heart. God examines our hearts for these things. Let's talk about a joyful heart. We need a joyful heart. In Proverbs 15, verse 13. Proverbs 15, verse 13. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face. But when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. You know, we go through many emotions in this lifetime. We will. We go through many different emotions. And we must try to make the best of every situation. Of course, that's easier said than done. It's easier said than done. We all deal with emotions differently. And but our emotions should reflect God. It doesn't always happen, because we get caught up in the moment sometimes. We get caught up in the moment and forget to turn our focus back to God in the weak moments that we may have. You know, prayer, it's very powerful, and we need it more than ever. We need it more than ever. You know, we pray for our leaders. We need leaders of our nation. We need to get back to the Bible principles. That's what we need to get back to. We've gotten laxed in what we will accept, and we must turn back to the scriptures for these things. In Psalm 66, verse 19, Psalm 66, verse 19, but truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. God hears our prayers. You know, many times we don't think that he listens to us, but he is. He's listening. He hears our complaints as well. He knows all of our problems, though. He knows what we're going through. In Proverbs 15, verse 8, Proverbs 15, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. Also in that same chapter, Proverbs 15, verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. You know, it pays to be found righteous and to be practicing righteousness. You know, if we are doing wicked things, our prayer will not be heard. Prayer is, like I said, it's us talking to God, letting our requests be made known. So as we pray, we must have faith that God knows best. In Matthew 21 and verse 22, Matthew chapter 21, verse 22. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. We must trust that God will provide us an answer. May not be what we want, but he does answer prayer. You know, Garth Brooks came out with that song, Unanswered Prayers. Well, that's not true. Prayers do get answered, and they get answered in three different ways: yes, no, and not right now. So we must keep that in mind as we pray about things. We may not get it right then and there, but like I said, it will come. Our answer will come. Second thing this evening I want to discuss is searching for God's will. Searching for God's will. Many times we get selfish and think that we know better than God. We know, or we may get to thinking that we don't need God just because he doesn't give us what we want. But we tend to forget that we're searching out his will for us and not the other way. You know, even Jesus understood that he understood his task at hand. But I often wonder, do we understand that what our task is? Because we should. We need to go out and preach the gospel to all creation, to all nations. Luke chapter 22, verse 42. Luke 22 and verse 42. Saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You know, this is the attitude. This is the attitude that we should have all the time. Not my will, but yours be done. You know, we get away from that, and it makes us lose focus of what we should be doing. Jesus could have stopped at any point and not followed through with all he went through for us. He could have stopped, but he understood the will of God better than we do. We get distracted and pulled away from our duties as Christians. You know, are you searching God's will? Are you searching God's will? Or are you searching for your own will? In Psalm 119, verse 15, Psalm 119 and verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. You know, I hope this is what we are doing. If not, we need to start doing this. We need to fix our eyes on his ways. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, Philippians 3, verse 17, brothers, join in imitating me, keeping your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. You know, we have good examples in the Bible. We have good examples in the Bible that we can follow. Other than Jesus, you know, Paul is normally one that we can relate to. He wasn't always good, but he did make a change for the better. He did make a change for the better, and we know that he had a past. He had a bad past. Peter is another character that we could relate to, because he had his bad moments. He had his weak moments, but he was, for the most part, good. And he denied Christ three times. But he also gave the church its first sermon and its start in Acts chapter 2. So we do have many examples that are set before us. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. You know, it's up to us to be the examples to others so that they can see Christ in us. This world needs more good examples so they can know Christ better. Many want to know very little about Christ and his will for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, for this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his footsteps. God has given us that free will to choose who we will follow. You know, one direction will lead us to eternal home in heaven, and the other will lead us to hell. But it's obvious which one we should follow. The third thing this evening I wanted to bring up is things happen for a reason. Things happen for a reason. You know, we don't always understand God's ways. We don't always understand God's ways, and we normally want answers right now. Many question God and why he does what he does. But death, we all know that death is one of the hardest things to overcome, and we tend to question God more during these times. When we lose our loved ones or someone that's close to us. But we forget that there's a time for everything. There's a time for everything. I want to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8 and then 11 through 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is an appointed time for everything, and there is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. And I want us to look at verses 11 through 14 there in the same chapter. He has made everything appropriate in his time. He has also set eternity in their heart, yet so that man will not find out the work which God has done from the beginning even to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to rejoice and do good in one's lifetime. Moreover, that every man who eats and drinks sees good in all his labor. It is the gift of God. Verse 14, I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, and there is nothing to take from it, for God has so worked that men should fear him. You know, the one thing about losing sight of what we should be doing is that we can understand God better through Bible study. We can understand him better, and we can understand his will for us. We have gotten away from reading our Bibles, and we must understand that it's what will help us be better people and more understanding of God. You know, we blame God for a lot of things, and we know that he has a purpose for everything. We must try to find the positive in every situation and go from there. There's many ways that we can serve. There are situations that may arise that we can be of service, and it's up to us to search out those things. Let's look at Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Joshua 24 and verse 15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, Joshua had the attitude of a servant. He had the attitude of a servant, and it flowed even to his people. He made an impact. He was very influential. In Joshua 24 and verse 24, and the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Joshua's attitude was very, very infectious, and we need more of that here. We can't be ashamed of being God's people. We can't be ashamed of that and carrying out the duties for mankind. Paul also had a great attitude. Paul had a great attitude. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul wasn't afraid to preach the gospel. He knew his task and that it wasn't going to be easy. It wasn't going to be easy. But we like the easy way out. We like the easy way out, but that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to share the gospel with the world. And not everyone will obey. Not everyone will obey or even want to listen. But there will be those who are hungry for God's word and want to know what they must do to be saved. There will be those who will get that far. If Paul preached the gospel, no matter what, well, we can too. We must leave the results to God. Our attitude has a lot to do with everything. It affects everything that we do. You know, if there's one soul that is saved through us preaching the truth, then that's what we are supposed to do. And in Luke chapter 15 and verse 7, Luke 15 and verse 7, I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. You know, we might point them in the right direction where they want to know more. And that's a good thing. That's a good place to be. But God gives the increase. God gives the increase. He allows us to learn his ways and how we can influence others. So many times we lack confidence. We lack confidence. Not only we lack confidence in ourselves and in what we know. And I think that kind of goes against us. But we need the confidence. We need to have confidence in ourselves and share what we know. Prayer is something that we all need to have, and we must take the time for prayer instead of thinking that we don't have time. We must make time for prayer. Many times we make excuses, but we must take the time to pray. And these are just a few things that we can think of, things that we can pray for. We can pray for for our nation, pray for each other, leaders of the church, pray for the sick, mission work, medical field, like I said, government leaders, schools, just different things. We have so many things that need our prayers. And like I said, you can just take a list and think of the things that we need to be praying for. And like I said, these are just a few things. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, Romans 10 and verse 1, this is Paul to the Romans. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. Paul cared for their salvation. He cared for their salvation. We need that same caring for each soul, because we do. We each have a soul, and we want to go to heaven, and it's a process that we have to go through to get there. We will all be rejected at some point in time, but we can't get frustrated enough to quit. We just cannot quit. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, Philippians 3 and verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. We want to do better each and every time that we get an opportunity to speak to someone about Christ and the salvation that is offered to us as long as we are obedient. God will give us strength and knowledge as long as we study his will for us. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, Hebrews 10 and verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. So we must also stir up each other to do good works that will bring more souls to the kingdom. You know, Job never lost sight. Job never lost sight, even after losing everything he had. He didn't blame God. He did not blame God. He very well could have. So Job's another good example that we can follow. His faith was very strong. You know, we have an awesome God. We have an awesome God, one who listens to what's on our hearts. And even though we don't tell him everything, he knows our hearts. You know, it's great to have a mediator that lets our requests be made known to God the Father. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, 1 Timothy 2 verse 5, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. You know, he came in human form, so he understands all that we go through, all that we will go through. So many times we forget that Jesus was human and went through everything sinless. He was perfect, and we strive for that perfectness. And we strive to be perfect just as he was. But no one is perfect. No one's perfect. We are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But we can be thankful for the forgiveness of sins. May God bless our efforts in being better servants. And because Christ set the bar high for us. He set the bar high, But we must give him our very best because that's what he deserves. He deserves our very best. I urge you to take the advantage of having a good prayer life. We have many things to pray for, and we must do it constantly. And I'm going to close here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happen among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. Verse 3, but the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Tonight, if you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a child of God and you've strayed away, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand and sing the invitation song.